In my readings for school, I've been reading a lot of Elder Zacharias. And Elder Zacharias is a disciple of St. Silwan, who was a disciple of, of St. Sophroni, who was also a disciple of St. Silwan. And so Elder Zacharias resides in a monastery in Essex, England, and essentially spends his life explaining in long form Elder Sophroni's teachings, which are sometimes a little harder to read and more sophisticated, at least the words and the style. Elder Zacharias once came to seminary, and his books, essentially his talks, were him reading the book that was going to be published. And the topic was about how we offer ourselves to God. And there's a strong sense of reverence and veneration for what we do in the liturgy. Particularly, as you may know, I come here very early. I prepare the bread and the wine and the gifts. One of the more elaborate services in the world for preparing the Eucharistic gifts. And then we have this liturgy of the word or the sermon, and then we're going to go to the liturgy of the faithful. And we'll get to that culminating point where the priest proclaims that after we've said the various doxologies and praises, he says, "I'm offering unto you, God, or offering unto thee, thine own of thine own, or that which you have given us, Lord, we offer back to you." And Elder Zacharias was speaking of the exchange that happened in that moment. That we take the best of what we have, we offer to God. In exchange for that, God gives us divine life. Now, divine life is not a psychological concept. It's something that is beyond time. It's in eternity. What are some other ways to say it? We can say that we give God the basics of our life as it is, and God gives us back salvation. He gives us back sanctification. He gives us revelation. He gives us eternity. He gives us transformation. He doesn't leave us where we're at in our offering, but he makes that offering connection, communion, integration, healing. And so when we say offering, this offering today, that's the exchange that we believe is happening. And for the most part, in this case, we're referring to the bread and wine being transformed into the body and blood of Christ. And then we take this into us, it becomes bone of our bone. That divine grace transforms us and heals us. But if we were to look at this, it's also a pattern for life. Because everything we offer, everything in our life is meant to be offered to God. Our successes, the promotions we get in life, we also offer God thanks and we offer it to Him. Our failures, when the sermon doesn't go over so well, we offer that back to God. Our shame, our sins, when we find ourselves deeply entrenched in sin, we'd love to offer something more honorable and more shiny and better, but oftentimes all we have to offer is our sins. We say, "God, this is who I am. I give you me, and I ask you to transform me, to give me your divine life." So no matter how humble or how great the thing we offer is, the pattern that's established in the liturgy of what we're doing is to offer our lives, to commend ourselves and one another in all our life unto Christ our God. Now we don't just offer ourselves. We offer our families. The priest, on behalf of the congregation, offers the congregation. But through God's grace, we can become prayerful enough to include the congregation and our families and our relatives and their successes, their failures, their sicknesses. All this gets offered up. And we say, "God, we don't know what to do with it. If it was up to us, we couldn't do anything with it. It's just what you've been given to us, what you have given to us." But we ask that you make it divine. Make it a place where we can find you. Make it a place for a connection with you, for communion, for transformation. That's the pattern of the Christian life. Now, I asked the question when Elder Zacharias came to seminary. I said, can we offer our sins on that plate, on the paten that the priest lifts up? His answer surprised me, but it was, what else do we have to offer? Or something like that, paraphrasing. What else is it that we have to offer? All we can offer is who we really are. Who we truly are right now. Not as we desire ourselves to be, not as we thought we should be, or who we think and what our parents thought we should be. But it's humble because it is who we truly are. And how we are right now, we offer to God. Now, in today's epistle, we hear about the Apostle Paul. He's going to the Corinthians, and he has let them know ahead of time that when he gets there, he's taking a collection for another church. Corinthians are known for being fairly wealthy. And he is admonishing them. He is saying, give in abundance, because whatever you give, you will receive back in abundance. Now, that sounds pretty much like as we've been hearing in the news a lot, like a quid pro quo. Learned a new word. That sounds like that. But if we actually analyze what happens, the Corinthians are going to give in their faithful heart their money to go to this group. God is going to give them divine life. He's going to give them something that doesn't rust and it doesn't corrode. Something that is eternal and something that will change their souls. And so when Paul asks for these gifts for this community, he's appealing to them from the generosity of what they've received from God. Because our generosity proceeds first in the fact that God loved us and we experienced it. And in response to that generosity, we give back. And we could say even so much that this is what Christians do. Paul goes on in his epistles to mention that he doesn't want to compulse them. He doesn't want to push them to do anything. Do you know why? Because someone who has experienced divine grace doesn't need to be pushed around. They don't need to be told to pray because they've tasted the grace of God. You don't need to tell them to come to church. Where else would they be on Sunday? When divine grace touches the heart and transforms it, and when it's tasted, many of the saints and many people testify that it draws us to God, and we want Him in any way we can get Him. We want to be close to Him. We want to obey Him. We want to, again, make these exchanges that we know we give our little bit and He pours life into us. So the Christian life isn't about wrenching arms and pushing people and convincing them what they should live a moral life and that they should somehow be Christian. That's not really what it's about. Now, you'll hear sermons like that because people need to be encouraged and challenged in various things. But authentically, if God's grace has touched your heart, it's meant to bring you to the place where your beloved child, looking at your beloved Father, and guided by the Holy Spirit, living a faithful life. Not because God has pushed you here and pushed you there and said, don't do this and get it together and pull it together and you better offer me something better. It's just simply out of love and pursuit of Him. So today we'll continue in this liturgy. We'll offer up thine own of thine own. And it's important that in our hearts that we contemplate what we're doing, that we draw those people in our lives that are suffering into our hearts, ask prayers for them in the litanies and otherwise, that we think about what our life consists of. We think about the wealth that God has given us, the financial wealth, just the fact that you're in this room in America, you're wealthier than a lot of people in the world, you know, the majority of people in the world. We think about the the good things that he's given us, but it's not limited to that. It's also the suffering. The suffering that has been placed upon us, not by God, but by this fallen world. That too can be offered. And as we bear that to the holy altar and lift it, it's as it's lifting up, may God bless us with this great exchange, knowing that with just the little we give, and if we could do this in every moment of our life, if we could train ourselves to make every moment of our life an anaphora, then whether we are singing or sitting in a pew, or whether we are driving a car, or doing a parish council, or working is in a committee or whatever it is at our jobs, we would be able to take a moment to offer our reality in exchange for the presence of that divine and endless life in Christ. May God bless us to internalize this and to begin to live it moment by moment. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.